Turn with me to Luke chapter 1 in your Bible. I want to begin reading Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. It's a part of the story you know. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now this.
Have you ever been quiet for a long time? Not opening your mouth. Not saying a word. I'm talking complete silence. God was for over 400 years. The muteness from the creator of the universe. The one who said that Earth is but a footstool to him. Was about to break his silence.
Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John.
A son?
you will have great joy, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will turn many to the Lord their God. He will come with the power of Elijah.
Elijah?
He will prepare the people for the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children.
But I'm an old man. My wife...
I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. And it was he who sent me to give you this good news. You will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For what he has spoke will surely be fulfilled.
It begins. The ritual becomes radiant, and the faithful become fathers. When God speaks, the heavens rise and the earth bows. Hope grows where hurt was rooted. Time becomes eternity. And he leads us to holy ground that was once hollow. Yes, my friends, God is just getting started.
As you think about what this video portrayed, what all had to happen for the Lord to be ready to speak to this man? To this man, Zacharias, about his life, but more importantly, about the life of his people. All that had to happen prompted this call to prepare. To prepare. And so as we start the Advent season, let us think about the call to prepare. Christmas is a call to prepare because God is at work, even when it seems he is not. God is at work, even when you cannot see it. There is a hope because God is at work. We think about Advent, and the word that we want to think about this morning is this word hope. Because God is at work. As the video related, God had been silent for some 400 years. There had not been a prophet. But even though there had not been a prophet and God had not spoken a new word, he was still at work. But the people were beginning to think that God had forgotten them. That he had didn't care, that he didn't know what was going on with them. The nation of Israel was occupied and they were controlled by Rome. Why did God not send a Messiah to free them, to save them? That was the question that every time they went to the market, every time they were out in public and they saw the Roman soldiers, they would say to themselves, Lord, why? Why not? Why not? Why isn't today the day that you're going to free us? And yet he didn't do anything. And ultimately they were asking the question, why did God not send the Messiah to free them? And so here Zacharias was, one of about 18,000 priests. His serving in the temple was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And he's chosen because God is at work. They used lots is the way they determined who would go in. And so God was at work in the selection of Zacharias. And so the angel visits and the angel tells of all that God is going to do in Zacharias' life, but more importantly, in the life of the nation, in the life of the people. There is hope. There is hope. God is at work. My mother's oldest sister had married, given birth to 3 kids, and buried her husband before I was even born. I did not know the man. Back in the late 1950s, things were hard for her. And about this time of year, the thought of Christmas coming put an even greater burden on her. It was going to be bleak. They had nothing. Well, one Sunday evening, she took the kids to church to celebrate Christmas. And my mom's family, the rest of the family, got together and they went to their house and decorated the house and put Christmas gifts under the tree. My cousins, I am sure, never envisioned anything like that happening. But God was at work. This morning, what are you praying for God to do? What are you praying for God to do? Is it healing? We pray for healing. Is it for new life in people who are living a deadly existence? We pray for that. But just because you cannot see God at work, it does not mean He is not. Are you praying for His kingdom to enlarge? Are you praying for people to come to know Christ that don't know Christ? It may be somebody that you're related to. It may be a neighbor. It may be somebody that you see at the store. Is there something in your life today you want God to do more than anything else? Are you trusting Him to do it? Are you trusting in Him to do it in His way and in His timing? And that's where we struggle sometimes. Are there things happening that are unexplainable, except that God is at work? Well, a call to prepare has gone out. Christmas is a call to prepare, so spend your life preparing for what God has planned. Remember that God plans and we are to prepare. Hope in Christ. Zacharias and Elizabeth had lived righteous lives before the Lord, it says. Righteous lives, but they had no kids. They were barren. It says that Elizabeth was barren. Now they were past the age of childbearing, and they were childless. And so in a very real sense, they were hopeless. Now I think we look at children today differently than people in that era did. In fact, I think we look at children differently than people 100, 150, 200 years ago did in this country. We look at children and say, "Oh, aren't they sweet? Aren't we glad to have them?" Back in that day, 200 years ago, if you had no children, that meant that when you became old, you had nobody to take care of you. Families had a lot of children, not because they wanted a lot of mouths to feed, because they needed a lot of hands to work. And so here's Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're barren. And on top of that, for Elizabeth especially, for her to be barren meant that God was not pleased with her. Yet it says that they lived righteous lives. Well, what they were doing was they were preparing for what God had for them to do. What was about to happen was humanly impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. The angel, Gabriel, is there to speak with Zacharias. Zacharias is just like you and I. We sometimes want to argue with the Lord, but we're old, but we're old. And the Lord dealt with him. When he finally comes out, he could not speak. The people kept waiting for him to come out, and when he finally does, he cannot speak. He's unable to speak, and the people realized that something amazing had taken place. So Zacharias then, it says, after his days of service were over, goes back home, and Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And this child, John, that was to be born to them, was part of what God had planned. John's life had a twofold purpose: to proclaim the need of a personal relationship with God. Remember what John's message was? Repent. Repent. But also then herald the coming of the Messiah. And John's message, the word says, would turn the heart, father's hearts back to the children and turn around the attitude of the people. So you and I need to prepare for what God has planned. What is the biggest adventure you have ever been on? When I ask that, I guess I am referring to what is the longest trip, not both in terms of time, but also in terms of distance. What is the biggest trip you've ever been on? And realize, too, that particularly we think about going on a trip, whether it be 30 days or 30 minutes, and say, well, you know, if I need something, there's a store. Okay. One of our nieces is on the longest trip I've ever heard of, I think, both in distance and time. Her husband, an Air Force officer and pilot, has been transferred from the Washington, D.C. area to Alaska with a several-month stopover at Altus Air Force Base. They're now driving from Altus, Oklahoma, to Alaska. That is a long trip. The niece posted a picture of their van. They have a minivan. There is hardly a square inch of space that does not have something packed in it. Now, I'm talking up to the ceiling. When you think about a big adventure, how do you prepare? How do you prepare? How are you to prepare for the future? You don't know what all God has planned for you. How have you prepared for this afternoon? Probably. Have you prepared for a year from now? Not so much. 10 years from now? Probably not at all. Preparing for what God has planned for you is not a matter of packing a suitcase or a car. It is about becoming like Christ in your life, in how you think, how you act, how you speak. Just like Zacharias and Elizabeth had long since quit dreaming of a child, what seems impossible to you for your life may be exactly what God may be planning. You don't know. We're to prepare. You don't know what God has for you tomorrow, a year from now, so we're to prepare. We're to become like Christ. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But that takes work. Remember the analogy of the three boats? The Christian life is not the speedboat where you get in and hang on. The Christian life is not the rowboat where the harder you work, the farther you go, the faster you go. The Christian life is the sailboat. There is work to be done, but you are basically waiting for God's Spirit to move. Are you doing anything to grow in Christ? It's a sad commentary on America's church. When a Sunday evening service or a Sunday evening Bible study has a small fraction of those who are present on Sunday morning. Because we just don't want to grow. Well, I know I'm saved. But are you obedient to Christ? Are you growing? Are you preparing? Are you preparing for what God has for you? A call to prepare has gone out. Christmas is a call to prepare, so participate in the results of God's preparation. God plans, we prepare. He brings about the results. There is hope in Christ. We always want to know the result of our work. We think that if we do the math problem the way we're supposed to, we'll get the right answer. If we follow the recipe according to the way the recipe's written, the food will taste right. We want to know how things are going to work. So is it that the results of the work of Christmas was given as prophecy by John's father, Zacharias. God's work that he prepared will bring about the results that he intends. That the Messiah would come. That John would be used to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. And that Jesus would come to redeem the lost, sinful man back from death. And so Jesus came to fulfill the promise, the covenant made to Abraham. Jesus came to enact a new covenant. Jesus came that there might be forgiveness of sin. So you and I are called to participate in the results of God's preparations. If you're a comic strip reader as I am, and you read the comic strip Blondie, you know that Blondie and her neighbor got into the catering business a couple years ago. And Dagwood, Blondie's husband, who is a prodigious eater, likes to go help with the catering events. And he goes not really to help because he wants to eat. John's message was a change, was of a change, a transformation in life and of life attitude. Participate in that. What is your attitude today? Are you more interested in doing things your way to please only you? Men, where's your heart today? Is it toward the children? Is it toward your family? You remember how children spell love? They don't spell it L-O-V-E, they spell it T-I-M-E. Are our hearts toward the children? Jesus came to prepare us for eternal life. It is a call to prepare. Jesus offers forgiveness. Have you experienced that forgiveness today? Has there been a turning of your heart? Are you prepared for Christmas, the celebration of the coming of the Messiah? Is hope part of the atmosphere of your heart? Last year, into the fall, about this time of year, we had HVAC problem time after time after time. Christmas Eve, I wake up after we've survived the flood, which we don't know anything about today. And so I came to the church about 11:30 that morning because I was going to turn the heat on in the sanctuary, in this room. What I didn't realize that morning was that every time that the thermostat called for heat or air conditioning, it brought on the air conditioning. So when I got here about 5 o'clock that Christmas Eve evening, it was cold in here, if you'll remember. Now, I tell you that quick story because what I want you to think about is that the atmosphere of this room was of a certain temperature. Is the atmosphere of your heart, the temperature of your heart, is it one of hope? You don't know what's going on in my life. But do you have hope? Do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if Jesus is your Savior, the atmosphere of your heart, the atmosphere of your life, no matter what happens is that God has this under control. He is going to bring good even out of this disaster. He is going to be able to heal, if not temporally, then eternally. That God is going to be able to make something good out of what seems terrible. Do you have hope? Remember that God is at work. Even when you cannot see Him, He is at work. Are you preparing? Are you preparing? How this morning, how do you need to respond to this call to prepare during this season of the year? How do you need to prepare?